WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. Man, you know what? It's about 1 o'clock, like every single weekday here on Current Sports. It's 1 o'clock. You know what? I haven't eaten yet. And I tell you what, folks, I'm really craving some crab legs right now. How about you? Did you hear about this story? I mean, really, Jameis Winston, of course, a star player for the Florida State Seminoles, a star quarterback, his face is everywhere, national championship. I mean, the kid can ball, okay? Not only on the gridiron, but also on the baseball diamond. He's also a pitcher for FSU, a really good athlete. But, you know, he's just been involved in just numerous idiotic, just small, other than the sexual assault charge, but just small incidences that have really gotten him in a bit of a pickle, so to speak. And his latest fiasco has to deal with him going into a store and purchasing some crab legs. Man, do I love me some crab legs. You know, just put some butter on them. Oh, yeah, I'm in heaven, okay? Well, crab legs are great. And, you know, anyway, Jameis Winston, apparently, he's a big fan of crab legs as well. He goes in there, right? Purchases them, forgets to pay, quote unquote, forgets to pay them, walks out, and the market decides to call the cops. They come to his home. Jameis apologizes and says he does not realize that he didn't pay the $37 until it was too late and he was already home. He didn't think to go back and give the money up. He just said, hey, I guess I forgot to pay him. He just smashed his legs now. The cops said, that's not flying. They issued a civil citation in which he has to serve a few hours of community service, and if he does so, it will not be on his record. But this is, again, this is a hilarious story. If you're on Instagram, if you are an Instagram fan and are on there like me, I'm an Instagram, you know, fanatic. I'm always posting something daily on there, and it's pretty funny because there's these things called memes on Instagram where, you know, they'll take a funny picture of anyone and kind of put like these quirky headliners on them, and it makes you laugh. It makes you chuckle. And there were so many Jameis Winston memes last night. It was pretty funny, okay? Pretty funny stuff. But, you know, it just really just begs the question. You know, Jameis, again, this is not his first incident. This has happened before and a few other numerous, you know, funny accusations here that he's been charged with. And it is, you just wonder, you know, when do you just smart up and just stop the college, you know, the college antics, if you will. You know, and it's funny stuff to me. I have an interesting take on it because when thinking about Jameis Winston's history when it comes to just doing stupid things in college, I've always, you know, it made me think about just how we've always had this argument about, you know, paying college athletes and so on and so forth. I got an interesting take on that. You don't want to miss that because we're definitely going to talk a little Jameis Winston throughout the hour here on the show. We have a great show in store for you all here on Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Matt Luckey and Alex Shark, of course, will join me in just a sec. But before they do, I will be talking with Diamond Leung, who is a former MLive sports reporter for Michigan State football and basketball here in the area. He is now doing outstanding work as a beat writer for the Golden State Warriors. Yes, the Golden State Warriors, the same team that is playing the controversial, to say the least, L.A. Clippers team, who is going through this whole Donald Sterling, you know, suspension and fine and whatnot. We've certainly beat this horse to death over the past few days, because certainly it's the biggest sports story in the world right now. We've beaten that horse to death, and we'll beat it one more time, okay? We'll beat the horse one more time today as we talk to Diamond about just kind of his firsthand take when being around this series, being around those players, being around that entire incident. And, you know, it's pretty cool because Diamond still covers, you know, with him being a Michigan State, you know, former Michigan State, you know, media member here in the area covering basketball and football and so forth. You know, it's a pretty cool tie because if you know Draymond Green, who was a Michigan State basketball standout here for the Green and White, he is now doing some outstanding things with the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about Draymond Green and how he has worked his way into the starting lineup for the NBA's Golden State Warriors. So you don't want to miss my convo with Diamond. That'll happen around 1:15 p.m. And you'll also get a sneak preview of my sit-down tonight on WKAR-TV with the newest MSU hockey captain, actually the 70th captain in MSU hockey history, Mike Ferrantino. You don't want to miss that. He is such a great kid, humble kid, who, when you talk about leadership and making sure you're on your P's and Q's and setting an example to your other teammates, yeah, he's definitely learned that lesson. There's no Jameis Winston here, okay? So you'll get to hear from Mike and so much more here on the show. If you want to call in throughout the entire hour, we will be taking your calls like we do each and every day. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And since I'm mentioning the current sports TV show tonight at 10 p.m. on WKRTV, I also want to remind you all that finally I have, at approximately 3 a.m. last night, 4 a.m. last night, I should say, I finally finished the current sports, Rose Bowl Chase It special, okay, which will be airing May 4th at 6:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. I will take a look back at this incredible MSU football season that culminated with a Rose Bowl championship. I'll sit down with head coach Mark D'Antonio. You also get to hear from Mark Hollis, the great Gene Washington, and so, so much more. You do not want to miss any of that. So, again, that's May 4th, this Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV, right after Beneath the Pines, which will be taking a behind-the-scenes look at the MSU band as they made the trip down to the Rose Bowl. You don't want to miss, though, that incredible hour from 6 to 7 p.m. Back-to-back great specials coming for you, so definitely tune in for that. All right, in the meantime, let's get to your current sports quick hit headliners for this new month, folks. It is May. That's right. You got to pay that rent. Got to pay that rent and those other bills. May 1st, 2014. Okay, Max Scherzer. He threw 6 scoreless innings, and the Detroit Tigers beat the Chicago White Sox 5-1 to finish a 2-game sweep. Scherzer won his 3rd straight start, allowing 4 hits while striking out 7 to become the first pitcher in team history with at least 7 strikeouts in each of his first 6 starts. Impressive stuff. Now, he also became the first in the majors to do so since Tim Lincecum began the 2010 season with at least 6 strikeouts in his first 7 starts. Now, the White Sox did challenge Scherzer, but left 7 runners on against the Tigers' righty. I also want to note that the Tigers announced that left-hander Robbie Ray will make his Major League debut tomorrow in the D. Well, actually, no, excuse me, next week in the D against the Astros. So you'll get to see Ray hit the mound. The Tigers now get ready for a 3-game series on the road against the Kansas City Royals starting tomorrow. That's starting tomorrow. Okay, and the Tigers also, I mean, we've sung this song before here, folks. The Tigers, relief pitchers. It's been a rocky road dating back to last season, and you can even argue beyond that. I mean, don't let me start preaching on that. But the Tigers are one of 5 teams now reportedly in the market for relief pitcher Joel Hanrahan, who is coming off Tommy John surgery a year ago and is looking for a team right now. Now, all other teams who are also in the running are the New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox, Colorado Rockies, and the Texas Rangers. So some stiff competition to try and acquire Joel here. This is according to CBS Sports John Hyman. Now, Hanrahan, who was 32 years old, was a dominant closer with the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2011 and 2012, recording 76 saves and 84 chances and posting a 1.83 ERA. And in 2011, and a 2.72 ERA in 2012. Now, the Red Sox signed him to be their closer in 2013, but pitched just 9 games before missing the rest of the season with the Tommy John surgery. So we'll see how that one pans out, and we'll certainly keep you updated on that. And some Red Wing news here with when it concerns 2 Red Wings. Danny DeKeyser, he will get a chance to further hone his worldly skills in the spring, if you will. Now, USA Hockey said this afternoon, yesterday afternoon, I should say, that DeKeyser has been added to the national team that will compete at the International Hockey Federation's World Championships, which will be taking place on May 9th through the 25th. And DeKeyser, he joins fellow Red Wings teammate Justin Abdelkader, an MSU alum, on the squad. So how about that? Now, DeKeyser is making his national team debut as a player. He was invited to last August's U.S. orientation camp, which is a part of the run-up to forging a team in Sochi Olympics. Abdelkader, he turned the Wings' early exit from the 2012 playoffs into a solid performance at the World Championship in Stockholm and Helsinki, contributing 1 goal and 3 assists in 8 games. Now, DeKeyser, who is 24 years old, is coming off a strong rookie NHL season that saw him produce 23 points in 65 games, along with a plus 10 rating. So we'll see how that turns out. Great offseason action there for Danny to kind of fine-tune his game, and also Justin the same. All right. This was one thrilling game, one thrilling series as the Kings came all the way back. The LA Kings, they became the fourth team, just the fourth team, to come back from a 3-0 series deficit with a 5-1 Game 7 win over the San Jose Sharks. My goodness, San Jose, that's got to hurt. That hurt for me to just say that. My goodness. Now, one of three Game 7s last night, the Kings used three third-period goals to eliminate the drama and advance to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs to face the Anaheim Ducks. Jonathan Quick, he made 39 saves for LA, who kept the Sharks scoreless on six power play opportunities. Now, the Sharks, who outscored the Kings 17-8 through the first three games, were outscored, get this, 18-5 in the final four contest. What an accomplishment. It is always amazing when I see teams that come back from, you know, 3-0 or 3-1 deficits. You know, it's just amazing to me because the amount of focus, the amount of faith, and the amount of persistence it takes to come back from a series deficit in the playoffs of all places, I mean, that's unbelievable to me. I mean, hats off to the LA Kings. They certainly deserve it. I can only imagine how the San Jose Shark fans are feeling right now. That's got to be salty, to say the least. All right, and other news concerning the Los Angeles Lakers coach, Mike D'Antoni. He resigned after two unsuccessful seasons with the club. D'Antoni, he guided the Lakers to a 67-87 record over his tenure, marked by injuries to Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, and others on a team that was once touted as, the class act of the Western Conference. Now, the Lakers and D'Antoni agreed on a settlement that will pay him more than half of the $4 million he was owed for next season. And they've already been reported to have interest in TV analyst Steve Kerr. Everybody wants Steve Kerr right now. My goodness, I tell you, he's certainly a hot commodity. His name has been mentioned everywhere, especially with the New York Knicks head coaching job. So we'll see how all this pans out. It's going to be really interesting to see. And I'm pretty sure the Lakers will probably go after Tom Izzo, too. I mean, who hasn't? So, all right. And Jameis Winston. This story, the whole crab legs, it's hilarious to me. Heisman-winning quarterback Jameis Winston, he has been suspended by the Florida State baseball team after receiving a citation for leaving a supermarket. We get this, folks. Over $30 in crab legs without paying. He just walks out of the market. I forgot to pay $37. What? Are you serious? Now, Winston was reportedly cooperative with law enforcement, and his punishment will require him to complete at least 20 hours of community service to avoid charges. FSU baseball coach Mike Martin has suspended Winston until the matter, is resolved. Now, Winston himself spoke to the situation saying, quote, "I make no excuses for my actions, and I will learn and grow from this unfortunate situation. I hope and pray my friends and family will view me as the 20-year-old young man that I am, and support me through this unfortunate situation. I am grateful to be able to participate in the adult citation program where I will complete my community service." Well, there you have that. That's a hilarious story to me. And, you know, this is not Winston's first time being in trouble with an incident with the law here, okay? We'll list kind of his history when it comes to these sort of things. And kind of talk about, has his draft stock kind of plummeted due to these instances? And, I have an interesting take when it comes to just the overall, just, you know, we've talked about college athletes getting paid. When it comes to that grand scheme of thoughts, I got an interesting take on it you don't want to miss. If you want to weigh in on it, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And speaking of other athletes who are in trouble with the law, of course, Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice pleaded not guilty to a third-degree charge of aggravated assault and applied for a pretrial intervention program today. Now, if you remember, Rice was arrested and charged with simple assault domestic violence back on February 15th after a physical altercation with his then-fiancée, Janae Palmer, at the Revel Casino and Hotel out in New Jersey. Now, if Rice avoids being convicted, he'll likely receive punishment from the NFL. So we'll see how that pans out. Nick Stauskas, former Big Ten now player of the year, reigning Big Ten player of the year, I should say, for the Michigan men's basketball team. He will throw out the first pitch at Comerica Park prior to Monday's Detroit Tigers game versus the Houston Astros. How about that? On Monday, Stauskas said he's been working with his girlfriend's two younger brothers to prepare for his Comerica debut, playing catch and fine-tuning his form. Interesting to see how he is. I'm always interested to see just how, you know, athletes from other sports, you know, can they throw a baseball over the plate. So we'll see how that turns out. Nick is certainly going to be a high draft pick in the upcoming NBA draft. And finally, Jason Gus. How about this pickup from Hawk Hollow? It's unbelievable. Jason Gus, one of the top golf instructors in the country, folks, has set up shop in the Lansing area at Hawk Hollow Country Club. Now, Gus, voted by Golf Digest as one of the top 20 teachers in America under the age of 40, will run the Jason Gus Golf Academy at Hawk Hollow. Gus said, quote, "I think I act like a kid still, so I'm teaching them. And kids are so easily guided in certain directions, so you can do a lot of things, whereas adults are usually set in their ways, so I like the ability to kind of mold kids, not just as better golfers, but as better people too." Gotta love that. Hey, even though it's just for kids, I may come out there and try to get a free lesson from Jason too. That's fun stuff right there. Certainly a great pickup by Hawk Hollow. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will talk about anything that is on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page if you're not by a phone at facebook.com/currentsports, and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And we've certainly been blowing up as far as your responses go to probably the biggest story right now in the world of sports, without a doubt, has been talked about left and right again. We've beaten this horse for the past 3 to 4 days now, and today we're going to beat it one more time. One more time, folks, okay? So bear with us here. Of course, as Adam Silver laid down the hammer, banning Donald Sterling, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, from the NBA for life, for life. He also fined him the maximum amount that you can fine someone in the National Basketball Association, $2.5 million. Looking at our Instagram page here, if you've decided to comment, Robert Rob says, quote, "Finally a rich person getting what they deserve." That sounds a little salty from Robert right there. Let's see. The Miss Kitty 89 says, "He's 80. Life for him isn't too long. LOL. Come on, Miss Kitty. That's a low blow. All right. Sebron James says, Sebron James. Gotta love that name. Smart move. He was faced with a very controversial situation, and he handled it well. This was like a test for him as the new NBA commissioner. He's a smart man. He knows the NBA is an African-American league, and he did what he had to do with the tact." I don't know, but I see where you're going, Sebron James. So there you go. You can weigh in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at AlMartinWKR. And we have a man who has a firsthand account of this entire fiasco during these past few days. Diamond Leung, of course, a friend of the show. He's been on here before. Former M Live sports reporter, now a beat reporter for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. The Golden State Warriors, of course, taking on the Los Angeles Clippers in this year's NBA first round of the playoffs. Diamond, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, Al. How are you doing?
Very well. You know, Diamond, again, you have a first-hand account of this entire thing that's gone down throughout the first round of the playoffs, and especially these past few days dating back to this weekend when this story broke. First of all, you know, Diamond, when you heard about this story, what was your reaction firsthand?
You know what? It came out I think late Friday night out here on the West Coast, early Saturday and over there. And, you know, when I first heard the tape recordings, you know, it was pretty shocking stuff. You know, you could kind of tell it would blow up in terms of the Clippers already being in right in the middle of the national limelight with a heated playoff series going on. And then it just kept going and going and going. And here we are now. I think it was 3 days after the thing, you know, the thing was released, and by then Donald Sterling was banned for life. So it escalated pretty quickly, and it was one of those things where I think people, when they really heard what was being said and understood that just how much it was basketball oriented in terms of the way the comments came out, that those comments could not be accepted really by the vast majority of people in the league.
Right, that is so true, Diamond. Now, you know, you being in a locker room and talking with the different players throughout this series, for you, Diamond, you know, what was the reaction like from the players on both sides?
You know, I think there was just a tremendous amount of disappointment shown. We actually didn't have that much access to the players.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of People wanted to close ranks and make sure they were focused a lot on basketball. But in fact, the Warriors on their end, they were there were more quotes coming out from them because they were actually the team that was available to speak more about it. And even from their side, there was a lot of anger and disappointment, you know, at those comments. Jermaine O'Neal, Stephen Curry were among those who spoke out against, the comments. From the Warriors side, they said it affected them just as much as, affected the Clippers. It wasn't just the Clippers that were affected, and it was difficult to tell over there because there was such little access to what they had to say. But clearly they were distracted, during a game four, when right in the middle of things, and they felt they had to really close ranks, and it looks like they got themselves together, regrouped, and won game five, and here we are, game six this evening.
Yeah, without a doubt. And so Diamond, when this did break, I mean, the NBA wanted to make sure, and other teams around the league, I'm pretty sure, wanted to make sure that what was being said was kind of monitored and that, there were no sporadic, of the moment kind of quotes out there. So they did kind of shelter the players from the media in that regard, then, huh?
Right. I think a lot of it was just because they were in the middle of the, playing as well.
Right.
For this stuff to hit right when you're going through preparations and, the NBA during the playoffs are often very much open, to the media. And I think this was obviously an extraordinary circumstance. And, even before game five, the NBA authorized both locker rooms be closed to the media, which is obviously a rare event. I think this did affect the players to the point where, they're considering boycotting the game. There's so much going on, you could see just what some remarks, just how much of an impact they had league-wide.
Right. And, Dime, I got to ask you, because I was reading a few articles here and there when it comes to the situation and how it concerns the series itself. And I got to ask you, was there a Warriors demonstration plan if the punishment wasn't just from Adam Silver and company?
As far as what we reported, if indeed that the sanctions did not satisfy a lot of people in basketball, including the Warriors are ready to apparently go ahead with a boycott of Game 5. And, according to what we reported, the plan was for really the jump ball and the opening tip-off to be thrown, and the Warriors right then and there to walk off the court, let that ball hit the floor.
Wow.
And that would have been quite an amazing statement. Of course, you can always say, what if, and, it didn't end up going that way with the Warriors being satisfied with the statement that Adam Silver made. But you wonder what would have happened if they had just announced an indefinite suspension and something a little lighter.
Wow, that would have been something to see, I tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with former M Live reporter from here in the area, now doing outstanding job covering the Golden State Warriors, Diamond Leung. Diamond, when Adam Silver approached the podium and really laid down the hammer, the maximum, he banned him for life, the maximum penalty that you can fine someone when it comes to the $2.5 million fine. Did you anticipate that at all? And with a type of punishment like that, how do you feel about it? Do you feel it was just?
I think, it did maybe surprise me a little bit. I didn't, necessarily think they could really go that far in terms of what the maximum punishment was. Clearly they wanted to give him the maximum, but,
right.
I think a lot of people were expecting something in a little more indefinite than that, but I think Silver, really brought it with the strong, what's a very strong statement, and to the point that he could. You can't necessarily just strip ownership just like that. It's not that easy in terms of, kick completely, removing Donald Sterling from his team entirely. I mean, it's something that Donald Sterling owns. There could be, word of maybe, a court challenge, that could, leave this thing in limbo for maybe a number of years, and it remains to be seen how it goes. But I think it's undeniable that whatever message that Adam Silver sent, it was a very strong one that was praised league-wide, something you rarely see, really, praised league-wide from the players, Players Union to the to general observers to people within the Clippers as well. So I think it was something that satisfied everybody satisfied most people that were within the league, I think.
And now, you know, with the owners making their decision and vote on, you know, the whole on the whole ownership of the Clippers when it concerns Donald Sterling, I mean, it seems as though, like you said, everybody's on the same page and this thing will get done, right?
It seems so. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, the courts could come into play, lawsuits could come into play. I think really does remain to be seen just, you know, how long it'll take to remove him as owner. And maybe he, you know, obviously it's something that he owns right now, but, you know, I can't imagine the incentive is there for him to really want to own necessarily something that he can't really be a part of. Mm-hmm. As far as attending games and hanging out on the sidelines and soaking up the atmosphere and really taking, you know, literally an ownership of the team.
Right.
And at this point it becomes purely an asset to him and it should be interesting to see how he responds to all this and in terms of maybe mounting a legal challenge.
And now for you as a journalist, Diamond, you know, you being at the games, it's got to be pretty surreal. You know, when you're at the Staples Center, and this really blew my mind too. It just looking at how many sponsorships of the team actually pulled themselves away from the situation by having their ads blocked, you know, logos removed from the stadium. It's got to be pretty amazing. You being at that, you know, covering this whole thing, being in the Staples Center and just looking up and seeing everything blacked out. I mean, how was the atmosphere and mood was before these games, especially the day of the whole announcement and when the players came out, because they showed the players hitting the floor live and the moment of silence and everything. I mean, that had to be pretty surreal for you too, right?
Yes, it was definitely very different to see you know, scores and scores of fans show up spontaneously wearing black, you know, as kind of a way to show us, you know, solidarity. And you know, the Clippers sent out a message that, you know, their theme was going to be "We Are One," mm-hmm. and you know, establishing that bond with not only their fans but just everybody in the community who is affected, you know, by those comments. Outside Staples Center, you have protests going on from some people who are bringing signs and bringing T-shirts and different things. You know, you had, like I mentioned earlier, threats of boycotts and, you know, I mean, hours before the game, you have at least the Warriors thinking whether or not they should even play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go right there into game five and then have a sporting contest where, you know, people aren't quite sure sometimes, you know, what to cheer for.
Right.
In fact, you know, it's definitely different when, you know, the opposing coach, you know, mentions fans should boycott the game. And then, you know, a day later you're out there playing. So it's definitely odd times out there in the NBA. We'll see if we can get back to basketball a little bit this evening. Things maybe start to begin with the healing process and start to become normal once again.
Yeah, certainly. I'm a huge NBA fan. You know, this is a series I looked at and said, man, this is going to be the most entertaining series of the first round. The entire NBA first round, though, this year has been unbelievable. And I want to ask you, you know, keeping a local feel here, when it comes to Draymond Green, you know, looking at how he has now worked his way into the starting lineup for the Golden State Warriors, pretty remarkable stuff. I want to get your thoughts on that, Diamond. It's got to be pretty amazing to see his progression and maturation throughout this season, now starting in the playoffs.
Right. Draymond's gotten a chance to get into that lineup with the Warriors really hurting in the front court, losing, having a big injury with Andrew Bogut,
mm-hmm.
Essentially being knocked out the series with a rib injury. And, you know, Draymond's always kind of been that spark plug off the bench, you know, just does so many different things on defense and can, you know, can hit that jump shot as well occasionally and really establish himself with a good rapport with Steph Curry, just as a screen setter, as someone who makes plays, as someone who just overall provides a great energy for the team. And now to see him enter the starting lineup and go one-on-one with Blake Griffin and then you know, possibly present kind of a stiff challenge to what the Clippers are trying to do. It's been a great time for Draymond in terms of showing off his progression as a player. And you know, even last night, you know, or the other night after Game 5, he's the one at the podium, you know, speaking
right
for the Warriors. you know, after the game. And you know, it's quite an achievement for a second year player to come up from the second round and to obtain maybe that level of status.
Yes, it is certainly remarkable to watch. And I saw Tom Izzo a few games back at the game supporting Draymond. Did you get a chance to holler at Izzo at all, Diamond?
I did not. He was one of the people wearing yellow T-shirts. And obviously, everybody in the arena was wearing a yellow T-shirt. So yeah. Couldn't exactly find him. But obviously, you know, he's out here doing some recruiting and you know, loves nothing more than to catch up with Draymond and see how well he's doing.
That's great stuff. All right, again, they tip off tonight. Of course, the season is on the line right now for the Warriors, as I believe they're a game back. 3-2 Clippers, right, Diamond?
That's correct. So the Warriors' backs are against the wall. We'll see what happens tonight, if Stephen Curry can get his offensive game going, and you know, see if the Clippers can close this one on out, even though things back home are a little crazy right now.
Right. Oh, boy. Can't wait to see that. There you have it. Diamond Leung, he is a beat writer for the Golden State Warriors. Hey, Diamond, take care. Thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, no problem, man. All right, well, ladies and gents, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on the MSU hockey season by talking with, I tell you, he's a pretty impressive young man. He is now the 70th captain in MSU hockey history. I sat down with him for Current Sports TV, and you know what? You get a sneak peek into that interview right now. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this first of the month. How about that? May 1st, 2014. Hope you all are having one fantastic Thursday. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Current Sports TV, we taped last night like we do each and every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and we talked with I sat down with Mike Fiorentino, who is now the 70th captain in MSU hockey history. And it's pretty impressive because, you know, Mike is a young man who is really matured. When you talk to him, you think you were talking to a vet, a senior for the MSU hockey program, a true testament and a true accomplishment for him, who he's only a sophomore right now. He will be a junior next season. But, you know, he's just a great young man who understands the value of leadership and the value of carrying yourself a certain way on the ice and especially off of it. I got a chance to sit down with Mike and pick his brain about, you know, when he got the call from Tom Anassis that he would be the captain of the team, his reaction, you know, transitioning now into that leadership role next year, coming off a season that performed below his expectations, and I'm pretty sure many on the team, as they are one body, if you will. And, you know, it was great sitting down with Mike. Again, you can catch us tonight on Current Sports TV, but you get a sneak peek of it right now. Mike Fiorentino, captain of the MSU hockey team. What an accomplishment for you to be named the 70th captain now of the MSU hockey program. I got to ask you, how did that moment come about? Did you have a feeling you would be named coming into this upcoming season?
You know, I wasn't sure. It was really special when it happened, but we have a lot of great leaders on our team, you know, in our locker room. So I wasn't really sure, but it was a nice, you know, thing to have happen, obviously. So
how did it happen? Did Tom come up to you and you guys have a private meeting with the other coaching personnel? I mean, how did that talk ensue?
At the end of every season, we have a meeting by ourselves with Coach Anastas, and at my end of the year meeting, he told me then. So, you know, I was really excited and, you know, couldn't wait to tell everyone. I had to wait till the banquet to
right.
Kind of let everyone know, but it was pretty exciting when it happened.
Oh, so you had to sit on this for a while then. Hold on, when did the meeting happen time? And how long did you know that you were captain before it was released?
I knew a couple days before, so it was...
You did?
Yeah, pretty, you know, tough secret to keep, but I had to keep my mouth shut for a little while.
That's got to be such an honor for you. I mean, a program like the MSU hockey program, year by year, consistent, you know, that bar of excellence that Tom always strives for each and every year, for you to be named captain, it's a big, big honor. A lot of pressure
also, Mike. I mean, because you're entering your sophomore now, entering your junior season. Is it also a little nerve-wracking at all to think about that accomplishment?
Yeah, it is a little bit. You know, at times I'm sure it'll be difficult, and at times it'll be tough, and at times it'll be great. But, you know, it's a tremendous honor. Growing up around here, you know, being at MSU hockey games my whole life, it really is special.
What has been the biggest influence as far as your leadership style goes? I mean, what players really taken you by the hand here at MSU and said, this is how you lead?
You know, you got to look at our, you know, just most recent captain, Greg Wolf. Me and him are really close friends, and, you know, he kind of showed me the way ever since I stepped on campus as far as, you know, what to do at the rink and away from the rink both. And, you know, he was the biggest influence on my leadership.
Specifically, what did Greg teach you?
You know, it's that you're an MSU hockey player 100% of the time. You know, it's not when you're at the rink. It's not when you're in class. It's, you know, away from the rink, out, you know, on the town, everywhere. You know, you represent the program, and he represented the program so well, you know, in all facets of life. So I think that was the biggest thing that he taught me.
Yeah, without a doubt, Greg, certainly a great leader. Now, I want to talk about the maturation process for you. I've always said, looking at the MSU hockey team as of recently, these past few seasons, I mean, you guys are really young. Mm-hmm. Now that experience is starting to, you know, to come year by year by year. Of course, you being a junior, there'll be a multitude of other juniors as well, a few seniors on the squad as well. Talk about that maturation process for me right now, Mike. Coming from, you know, a freshman year now to a leader, a captain of this team, what aspects have you changed as a player, both on the ice and off of it, when it comes to that process?
You know, I think on the ice, you know, you're trying to always improve your game. And, you know, our coaching staff does a great job of developing us and, you know, our skills and talents. So as far as on the ice, you know, you're always working to get better and always trying little things to improve yourself. And, you know, off the ice, I've gotten a lot, you know, stronger physically since I got here. I came in and I was, you know, a little scrawny freshman. And
Like me right now.
Right. So, but, you know, ever since I got here, you know, our strength coach, Mike Vorkovich, does a great job with, you know, helping you out, whether you're trying to, you know, gain weight, lose weight, muscle mass, anything. So I think that's been, you know, the biggest part of my maturation process.
Now, what about off the ice?
You know, you learn quickly because, you know, there's things that, you know, normal college students can do that you can't do, and there's, you know, it goes the other way too. There's things you can do that they can't do. So, you know, it's a big learning process. You kind of just follow the seniors. You know, when I got here, we had a great senior class, and any questions, you know, you shoot them a text right away and ask, you know, hey, can I do this? Or, you know, no, you can't, whatever, before you get in trouble. So I think, yeah, that was the biggest part of that.
Nah, I got to be real with you. Of course, I graduated from MSU, did 4 years and graduated in 2012. MSU is a college party atmosphere. Yeah. And that's around you all the time. And like you said, you being in the spotlight, you know, playing for a program like MSU's hockey program, your face is very recognizable wherever you go. You can't do certain things, like you said, that the normal college student can't engages in. Is that always in the back of your head as far as, you know, how the social atmospheres you engage in and also how you carry yourself even on social media platforms like Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you always got to keep in the back of your mind and, you know, make sure you, as well as, you know, your teammates are going off and, you know, doing something they shouldn't be doing. And especially on social media, you know, it's crazy what happens with, you see, you know, on TV these days with the athletes are tweeting something and all of a sudden, you know, it's blown into a huge big deal. So you got to be really careful about what you put on there.
Is that something that you and your fellow teammates talk about what to post and what not to post? And has there been an incident where somebody has posted something that's like, come on, dude, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, it happens. You know, definitely guys are asking before they'll tweet it out, you know, hey, does this sound okay? Or, you know, should
they
I?
Do that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there's been a few times where, you know, guys tweet stuff. You're like, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that. So, you know, we kind of keep each other in check a lot.
That's good stuff. That's a good family right there. All right, Mike, you know, I got to take a trip back in time really quick. A month ago, of course, in near the end of March, your guys' season ended in the Big Ten tourney with a loss to OSU. I want to talk about this past season, the up and down hills that you guys went through, and the record you all had. The record doesn't tell the whole story, of course, and that's the any season, I believe. How disappointing was it, though, to not keep that season going and that loss to OSU?
You know, it was really disappointing. You know, we felt we could have extended our season a lot longer than it went, and, you know, obviously we lost in overtime, so made it a little bit tougher to know that, you know, we were one shot away from moving on and continuing our season. But, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs. We had good stretches and bad stretches, and that was part of being, you know, a young team and having to learn how to win games and, you know, becoming closer as a team as well.
What's the biggest facet now to build upon looking at next year?
You know, I think you look at the core returning group of guys that we have coming back. Really be solid. And everyone's a year older, a year stronger, you know, a year bigger, smarter, you know. So I think, everything's kind of, everyone's progressing at the same rate and kind of keeping, things going in the right direction.
Mike, is the record misleading? You know, when people look at the record of this past season, I mean, of course, nothing really, it's nothing to harp on, you know what I mean? Is that misleading, though, as far as the development of you guys from point A to point B as the season ended?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, there was a lot of close games that we were in. I think we had 7 shootout games this year, you know. So, every game we were in, we were playing the, top-ranked teams in the country, and we were sticking right with them. And, so I think it's only a matter of time before we break through and our record gets a whole lot better.
And, of course, I know this offseason will certainly be very important for your all's development, just to stay in shape and to hit the ice. But there's kind of a pickle in this whole thing because there's renovations being done to Munn Ice Arena. Am I right?
Yeah, it's, usually we'll go home for the first summer semester and we'll be back July 1st as a team. But this year, since Munn's being renovated, there won't be ice till the middle of August or so, I think. So, we get to stay home all summer. So it'll be interesting.
Nice. That's pretty relaxing.
Yeah, it'll be a change for sure. I haven't spent too much time at home over the last couple of years, so it'll be nice. But at the same time, I'll miss the boys and being up here. But, it'll be interesting for sure.
Well, that's certainly still a key stretch. Well, first of all, for our viewers out there who don't know about the renovations, what exactly is being done to Munn Ice Arena?
Right now, they're putting in a new ice chilling system to improve the ice quality at Munn. And there's other minor renovations going on I'm not completely sure about. But the big one this summer is they're putting in a new ice chiller.
So for you, where will you be training in this summer to make sure that you stay in your P's and Q's and come back conditionally ready and skill-wise ready as the season embarks for next year?
Yeah, I have a gym back home that I'll go to. I think there's 4 or 5 of us on the team that'll go work out together and hold each other accountable that way. And, we'll skate together, work out together, and, make sure we're all staying in good shape.
You being now the leader of this team, Mike, which is, you transitioning now into your junior year, the sole leader of this team, from a leadership standpoint, how are you approaching this upcoming season, and what must you do to make sure that, this team is mentally ready for another year?
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different for sure. Now that I've been named captain, I'll have to, make sure not only that I'm, doing the things I'm supposed to be doing, but, other guys as well, and checking in and making sure, guys are, having good summers and doing the right thing. And, we'll organize a couple probably captain's practices along the way somewhere where, we'll get together and have skates. But, it'll be an interesting one. It'll be fun, exciting, a good challenge.
Yeah, without a doubt. Speaking of challenge, before you came to the MSU hockey program, you actually played in the United States Hockey League from 2010 to 2012. Can you talk about your career in the USHL really briefly, Mike?
Yeah, I played in Omaha, Nebraska for the Omaha Lancers there, and I loved it. It was really cool. I moved there after my senior year of high school, and just to kind of take a year, and everything's hockey. So basically, you're kind of like a professional where you're not doing a whole lot other than being at the rink and kind of.
Are you guys getting paid too?
No.
No, you guys
were right.
Okay.
We can't
just
do that, right? Because of the NCAA. But the USHL is actually, one of the only leagues that, does that. That's where all the college players go. So it was a lot of fun.
Okay. Because I wasn't too familiar with it. Okay. What kind of stuff did you learn being at the USHL?
You got to learn, how to manage your time, I guess. And, one of the biggest things was, moving away from home, was tough, but, you really learn to take care of yourself. And at that point, your development as a hockey player is, a lot of it's, put right on your own shoulders. So you really got to take your game to another level.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, Mike, and before we let the 12th man get at you, we're going to go to our social media pages in just a sec. They have a lot of questions out there for you. But before we do that, I want to talk Red Wings really quick.
Okay.
The Detroit Red Wings, you're a big fan of the Red Wings, I understand, and it had to hurt you a little bit. Looking at what happened, of course, this last weekend, as the Red Wings had to say bye-bye as the postseason ended for them a little early with a loss to the Boston Bruins. I mean, where'd your love for the Red Wings start, man?
Ever since I was little, my dad always took me to games, and so right from the very beginning, I was a diehard Wings fan, and I love going down to the Joe and seeing them. And, it's cool now coming here, you get to meet guys like Justin Abdelkader, Drew Miller that played here, so you have that connection. That's really cool. But, it was a tough series to watch for sure. It always hurts a little bit when they get knocked out. So
did you expect them to win? Did you have the Wings winning?
I had faith they'd win. I was realistic about it, but I was hoping, that's for sure.
you talk about guys like Justin Abdelkader and, guys like Torrey Krug who have come through the MSU hockey program. You talk about them reaching back. Have you? I'm pretty sure you've had conversations with them. What advice have they given you and the team?
You know, one of the biggest things, and it sounds pretty cliche, but they just tell you to enjoy it. You know, how fast it goes that you're here. And I know Justin Advocator talked to us before one of our games at Joe Louis Arena this year. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of said, you know, enjoy it, live for the moment, and, you know, take everything away that you can from the university because, you know, it gives you so much.
Yes, it definitely does. And for you, I got to ask, who is your favorite player and why?
You know, I'm a big Henrik Zetterberg fan. I like him because, you know, he's a two-way player. He plays both ends of the ice. You know, he's a good leader, and, you know, he's pretty good at putting puck in the net, too.
So will they be back next year?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they will,
for
sure.
It has to be a little nerve-wracking now, because I was looking at that schedule, and when they almost didn't make the playoffs, yeah. But, man, what a stretch, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, Mike, well, you got a few more minutes.
Yep, absolutely.
Stick around, because the 12th man starts right now. All right, well, it is now time for the 12th man. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
The 12th man this week, we're going to go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also my Twitter page at Al Martin WKR and take a few questions for the newest MSU hockey captain, Mike Ferrantino. All right, Mike, first one, here we go. Jack. Now, Jack is a huge fan of yours. He's actually our floor director Jason's son, huge fan of yours. He says that, quote, you're my favorite player. Better hockey movie. Miracle or the Mighty Ducks?
Ooh.
That's tough, dude.
That's a really tough one.
Sit on that one.
I was just watching Mighty Ducks the other day, too.
Did you?
Yep.
It's a good movie.
You know, I'll probably go with Miracle, though. I think, you know, that story was pretty amazing, so I think that's where I'll go. You know, it's a true story, so.
Right. Okay, so you go, okay, I like that. Yeah. I'm going to choose Mighty Ducks, but
Big USA hockey fan, too. You know, I guess the Ducks are Team USA, though, too, right?
So, yeah.
I don't know,
that's a tough one.
Can't go wrong.
But you're going with Miracle.
Yeah, I'll go with Miracle.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, Jack. Okay, Brad Walker, what advice would you give to a young hockey player who wants to play in the NHL?
You know, the first thing I tell them, just to have fun with it. You know, you start playing the game because you have fun doing it. So make sure, you know, throughout your career, for as long as you play, make sure you're having fun.
Was there a moment in your childhood where you looked at it and said, man, that's what I want to do? Or did you just naturally just come to the game by playing with your friends around the area?
You know, I think I kind of came naturally to the game. My dad was a hockey player, too. But he was. So maybe I was pushed in a little bit. But, you know, I've always, you know, loved the game, loved playing it, loved being around it, watching it, everything. So, you know, it's always been fun for me.
How good was your dad?
He was all right. You know, he didn't play college or anything, but he was all right growing up. So
Nice. All right. Thanks a lot, Brad. Okay, well, Carl from Ottawa wants to know, simple, pizza or tacos, brother? Pizza or tacos? That's tough.
I'll probably go pizza. You know, I'm an Italian kid. I'll go pizza.
You go pizza? Yeah. Any favorite? What do you like on your pizza, man?
I'm a big barbecue chicken pizza guy, actually.
I'm going to get some of that after the show, okay? Right. You know, I'm about to. No, I'll stay here until we. All right, we're almost done here. Tommy from Ann Arbor, did you receive any advice from former Spartan players when you were named team captain?
Yeah, one of the first people I talked to was Greg Wolf. You know, and he kind of, you know, told me what I was in for a little bit, and you know, watching him and how well he handled everything, you know, I learned a lot that way. But he just said, you know, embrace it, you know, try and do the best you can. And he said, don't be afraid to say no, because there's going to be a lot of things that come up, and don't let it affect your game. So
what other hurdles did Greg warn you of when moving into this new position now?
You know, you kind of just worry about the responsibility. You know, you got to kind of look after everyone and make sure everyone's doing the right things, because it kind of comes back on your plate if something bad happens. So
yeah, that's very, very true. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Tommy. Appreciate that. Mark from Jackson wants to know, what's the biggest area of improvement that yourself and the team must focus on heading into next year?
You know, I'd say it's playing a complete 60-minute game. You know, there were times this year in games where we were, you know, playing really well and sticking with, you know, the best teams in the country, and all of a sudden, you know, we'd have a letdown and give up a few quick goals here or there. So, you know, from a team perspective, I definitely say, you know, playing a complete game. And, you know, for me, I'm always trying to get faster. You know, I'm not the biggest guy on the ice, so I really got to be fast. So that's always my biggest thing.
You know, during those tough losses, because there were so many games this year where it just came down to the wire and you guys weren't able to pull it out. Mm-hmm. In the locker room, what do you say to each other? I mean, going through that stretch of games where you're so close, yet so far.
You know, it's tough because, you know, you're trying not to get discouraged or let anyone feel too down about it. But at the same time, you know, winning matters. So, you know, you take a lesson from each game, you know, and I think you got to learn from it. And I think with the experience we've, you know, earned the past season, you know, it'll only help us in the future.
Yeah, that's so true. All right, and our last one, Malik from Plymouth wants to know your hometown. What qualities did you learn from Greg Wolf? Mm-hmm. And as he was, of course, the captain of the past two seasons, you kind of alluded to a few of mm-hmm. those already.
Yeah, you know, Greg took his game very seriously. You know, he was always trying to get better, and he was the first one on the ice every day and the last one off. And, you know, for me, when I came in, you know, he was a junior when I was a freshman. So, you know, just trying to follow him and, you know, kind of work as hard as he did, because he worked, you know, gave it 110% every time, you know, whether it was on the ice, in the weight room, in the classroom, you know. So, like I said earlier, you know, he really gave it his best, you know, in all facets, so.
Mike Ferrantino, thanks a lot for joining me on Current Sports TV. You can catch that episode tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV and so much more. You get to see the new design for the MSU North End Zone project. It's coming along pretty nicely, folks. And Flozo Adams, who donated $1.5 million to the project, you'll hear from him. Get to see me almost, you know, kill myself during the Battlefield Brawl this Sunday. Fun time. That and so much more tonight, 10 p.m. on WKRTV. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Jameis Winston. You don't want to go anywhere. Welcome back to Current Sports. You know what? Think about Mike Ferrantino. You know, when he came into the studio yesterday and I looked at him, you know, he's only 5'8", but he's a you know, he's a husky 5'8". You know, he's got some weight to him, got some muscle to him. You got to be a tough guy to be, you know, that amount of height and to be out there banging with guys who are much bigger than you. I mean, he's a tough kid. You know, it got me thinking. You know, I'm reading the new issue of Sports Illustrated here. It has Johnny Football on the cover, this month's issue. And they actually have a few, just real briefly mention these, a few players who played with incredible injuries. You got to be tough to play hockey, all right? Just really briefly, Bob Bond of the Maple Leafs, check this out, guys. The defenseman was stretched off the ice after breaking his right leg in the third period of Game 6 against the Detroit Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Finals. After getting shot up with Novocaine, he returned in overtime with the score tied 3-3 and scored the game winner. He said afterwards, the adrenaline was running high and I just wanted to get back on the ice and help my team. My goodness. And check out this one. This is the last one I'll note. Mario Lemieux of the Penguins, playing with a broken hand and a back condition so bad that somebody else had to tie his skate laces. Lemieux won his second straight Conn Smythe Trophy as the playoff MVP while leading the Penguins to its second straight Stanley Cup. Super Mario led the postseason with 16 goals and 34 points. Folks, he had a broken hand and a messed up back and still played. That's incredible to me, man. Hats off to hockey players. A lot of admiration coming this way for you, okay? Matt and Alex, how you guys doing?
Doing good, man. I never thought that I'd be coming in to work today to talk about crabs and crab legs. Amazing.
Right?
I never would have thought that. What did you do at work today? I talked about crab legs.
Yeah, Jameis Winston has opened up that door for us. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. And you know, I was thinking this morning, I hope I get to go to work and talk about crab legs and leave it to Jameis.
Yeah,
he always comes through for you. He always comes through. Thank you, Jameis.
And you know, this whole Jameis Winston story, when I heard this, I started busting out laughing at all the memes. I don't know if you guys are on Instagram, but there were a ton of memes about Jameis Winston and crab legs. And guys, this isn't the first time Jameis has been in trouble. You know, you go back to last November, if you remember. Undercover City Records that show Winston and some teammates were questioned by police regarding a BB gun battle 1 year earlier and had been accused by a Burger King employee of stealing soda from the restaurant last July. I mean, these little incidents, he's had a history of these little incidences just adding up into just a bad perception of Jameis Winston over time. Not to mention, you throw on the sexual assault case on top of that. I mean, you know, and I just want to ask you guys, the national perception now of Jameis, it's definitely had to be altered in a way, but in a way of where, do you think it affects his draft status now, right now? Let's say he was to come out this year and something like this happened. Do you think it affects his draft status? Matt, we'll start with you.
So you think if he was
in the draft this year. If he was in this year.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And not just because, you know, of the sexual assault thing. But you would think after a case that basically embroiled his entire season, he would get his act together and start to, you know, be a law-abiding citizen, I guess I'm going to say. You would think he would kind of clean himself up and just be by the book until he got to the draft. The fact that he's still making mistakes like this and just dumb things. I mean,
right.
Forget
yeah.
to pay for crab legs.
How do you forget to pay
what?
For crab legs,
yeah,
first of all?
Well,
I
yeah,
thought the system, you would have to pay to get the crab legs first. That's weird in itself, but still, come on, man.
It's just odd, and I think yeah, if he was in the draft and this kind of stuff was still coming up, especially leading up to the draft, I mean, it's only, what, a week or two away? I mean, it's right
yeah.
around the
oh,
corner.
Oh, actually, a week away from today.
A week away from today. Thank goodness.
I know,
waited
right?
long enough. But, yeah, I think it would definitely negatively affect his stock. Obviously, he's going back to school, so he'll still have another year to kind of help his image.
Mm-hmm.
But the way things are going, I mean, the more and more of these you know, seemingly incidental things pile up, the worse it's going to look for the overall perception.
Without a doubt. Alex?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can really say about his draft stock is teams will probably ask him about the situation. I don't know if it's going to drop him down two rounds, anything significant, but he'll be asked. And it's the same reason why Max Bullitt will be asked what happened to him and not playing in the Rose Bowl. So I don't think it's going to be significant. It's not like it's resulted in any injury or anything like that. I don't think it's more than the sexual assault already kind of hurt his stock on top of it. I think he'll just be asked about it.
Yeah, the thing with me is that it really stands out is, you know, it's become repetitive now. I mean, it's becoming one incident after another incident after another incident. And you're like, you know, at some point you got to grow up. That's the biggest thing with me. You got to grow up, mature, and say, hey, I'm the face of this football team, arguably the face of this school right now. Maybe I need to evaluate some things and try to carry myself and surround myself with some people who won't, you know, tempt me to engage in this extracurricular activity that's getting me into the negative press. And that's the thing with me. I mean, at some point, you know, this kind of is a great segue into this conversation because, you know, you just heard Mike Fiorentino, and he talked about how he has to handle himself in certain atmospheres, both on the ice and off it, and having a great mentor like Greg Wolf, who was a senior on this last MSU hockey team, being a mentor and teaching them those things definitely aided. But it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to go out there and do it. And you can hear all this jive about, yeah, you got to do this off the field, you got to carry yourself like this. But sometimes, you know, being in those atmospheres and that temptation can be so overwhelming. It takes a strong person to stand up and say, hey, I'm not engaging in that. And right now, I think Jameis is just hanging out with the wrong crowd, if you ask me. That's what it seems like here. And, you know, think about this whole thing. To kind of end the show here with only a minute left, we'll have this conversation tomorrow, but I want to bold this conversation to you guys when it comes to the argument of paying college athletes or at least allowing them to pursue endorsement deals. A situation like this is what really stands out to me and makes me second-guess that notion, because the question is, are they really mature enough to handle the moolah that comes with endorsements and so on and so forth, and everything that comes with it? Because if you're being endorsed by a company and you go out and do something like this, you're not only making yourself and that product look bad, but you're making the school look bad, and that crosses the line that opens up a huge can of worms. We'll have that discussion tomorrow. You do not want to miss that. Thank you to all of you who tune into today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, have one fantastic Thursday. Catch Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. Have a good one, folks, and be easy.